All right, everyone ready?
Ready when you are.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to all of our listeners who are joining us for this episode of the ICIS Americas podcast. I'm your host, Anna Mathern, and today I'm joined by our two polymers experts, Deputy Managing Editor Zachary Moore and Brian Pruitt, Senior Vice President at CDI, which was acquired by ICIS in 2020. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Anna.
Yes, thank you.
As part of our 2021 global outlook, in this episode, we're going to discuss both the U.S. polyethylene and polypropylene markets and what's to come in 2021. So let's start by taking a look back at what took place in 2020 on the demand side and how that set up these markets for 2021. Now, polyethylene demand remained strong throughout 2020, while polypropylene demand made quite a comeback in Q3 of 2020. Could you talk a little to the demand outlook 2021 as a whole?
Sure, I'll cover that, Zach. This is Brian Pruitt. We have an unexpected surge in certain areas of the packaging, health and hygiene, personal protective equipment, and other related demand due to the pandemic. We're starting to sound like a broken record repeating this over and over again, but we've had clients tell us they are 1.5 to 4 times their normal volumes, which has helped, especially in polyethylene, to much greater level of non-durable end uses, see demand that has held up rather nicely this year. And with what is expected to be the new normal headed into 2021, we expect to see a lot more of the same. Demand growth rates on the chemical data side, anywhere in the 3 to 5% per year growth rate in North America. And on polypropylene, which is recovering nicely as durables return, we suspect to see something very, very similar along those lines.
And Brian, I understand CDI has a polyethylene non-market adjustment and taking place in January. Could you briefly explain this process?
Sure. One of the necessary evils in this industry, due to the way that producers and large converters, large buyers, price resin at the commodity level, we've had to develop over 20 years ago a formal process to reset industry benchmark prices. You can think of them like a sticker price on a car. Nobody goes in and pays a sticker price. Everybody has a different level of negotiating skill or the size of their leverage when they negotiate. Chemical Data more than 20 years ago developed a process that is now referred to as a non-market adjustment or NMA, which simply cleans up the creeping discount and base contract resets that we see every year in this industry. The problem as of late is 20 years ago when we invented this, non-market movement or the accumulation of discounts that grow either just normally over 4 to 6 month timeframes or that happen during contract negotiation period or what might even today be considered, you know, spot price component of contract purchases, all of that referred to as non-market movement has become somewhat of a standard operating practice for the large buyers in this. So that means the discounting is getting bigger and bigger every, you know, 5 to 10 years. We're now seeing, because of the large excess increased capacity in polyethylene, we're seeing an annual average increase in the discount of anywhere between 5 and 8 cents, depending on the company. So we basically announced 12 months in advance that we will reset our benchmark indices to put them closer into alignment with industry's net pricing. Without absolutely going to the level of net pricing, we still keep some level of discount in there. It's just much smaller once we implement our CDI NMAs for polyethylene in January of 2021.
Yeah, thanks for explaining and keeping our listeners informed on this process. Now we'll turn to the supply side, where polypropylene ended 2021 with very tight supply situation and polyethylene availability was just starting to tighten. Where are these markets headed for supplies this year?
I'll step in on that one. So with the polypropylene situation, actually with both of the polymers, towards the end of 2020, we had this very active Atlantic hurricane season, lots of shutdowns, lots of forces majeure. And the thought was going into this last quarter that as the hurricane season ended and those outages resolved, that those supplies would improve. We really have not seen that at all in polypropylene. It's remained tight. A lot of this is due to polypropylene demand being very good, so consumption is staying high, and it's just hard to catch up from an inventory perspective. A lot of it also is due with some shortages on the monomer side. Propylene's a byproduct of a couple of different processes. About half of all propylene in the U.S. comes from refineries, which are, of course, running at low rates. So propylene is stayed short, and that's limited the ability of polypropylene producers to run at full rates. On the polyethylene side, we had been seeing some easing in the supply-demand balance, but that's started to shift into reverse just because demand has stayed very strong both domestically and recently. Export demand has really picked up. Asia is buying a lot. A number of regions that would normally be served by Asia and the Middle East are having to look for alternative suppliers because of shipping difficulties. And in addition, Braskem Idesa has had to shut down its plant in Mexico, which has made Mexico much more reliant on U.S. polyethylene exports. So the demand pull on U.S. polyethylene has increased significantly towards the end of 2020.
Yeah, and speaking of supplies, are there any major PE or PP capacity expected to come online in the U.S. over the next year?
As we see it right now, we are expecting most of those additions to really start coming online really in 2022. So a lot of the stuff that was going to come online got pushed back, whether because of people being more hesitant to make investments or just because of slowdowns in construction caused by, you know, the inability to keep a full slate of people on the site at any given time because of various restrictions on the number of people you can have at a site. So a lot of that stuff has been delayed. We are still expecting some projects to come through, but basically a lot of the stuff that might have come in 2021, like the Inter Pipeline polypropylene plant and the Bayport Polymers polyethylene plant, we now think of as more likely to show up in 2022.
That on Zachary's comments on the supply and demand balances in general, we are not seeing the typical seasonality in polyethylene and polypro that we see around the winter holidays. We have what is expected to be many companies trying to make up for lost ground during the course of the pandemic this year. And thus, there's literally no seasonality, like we normally see during the winter holidays. That is helping the tight supply and demand situation for polypro, which has allowed the industry to recently add 6 cents of spread or margin with another 4 cents on the table that is likely to be implemented in December. That's allowed us to be almost 10 cents a pound higher than we thought, which means margins next year over the course of 2021 will be coming down at a slower pace because of tighter markets and from a much higher starting point. In polyethylene, we're seeing similar but not quite as strong activity. The margin environment with oil now closer to $50 as opposed to $40 a couple months ago with the Braskem Idesa outage due to the standoff with the Mexican government that Zachary mentioned, and with just strong international and North America demand is going to allow margins to be like polypro, from, you know, starting at a much higher point and taking longer to move slowly down to the troughs that we suspect we'll see by the end of 2021.
Right. And the new supply situation that Zachary mentioned earlier could certainly help the increase in demand and tighter supplies. But since a lot of that has now been pushed back to 2022, how do we think that's going to impact the export market for 2021? What are we going to see there?
Well, we will see, certainly with polyethylene over the past several years, we've seen a lot of steadily increasing share of overall sales going into exports, and that should continue. We had towards the end of 2020, two brand new low density plants from Formosa and Sasol come online. We should really see the effect of those plants on the export market starting in 2021. If we look at data for 2020, exports of linear low and high density were up, low density was down, and a lot of that was due to those delayed plant startups plus the strong domestic demand for low density. So we should see low density joining those other two in getting to a higher level in 2021. There were some expectations as well once Braskem late in 2020 started its new polypropylene plant that we'd get a lot of new exports out of that plant. However, because the domestic polypropylene market is staying tight and is likely to do so at least through the first 3 to 6 months of 2021, we expect to see a delay in all that new export polypropylene capacity hitting the market.
And Brian, do you have anything else you'd like to add on the outlook for 2021?
It's a more generic, longer term outlook. As we all know, the first wave, this massive wave of new polyethylene capacity was a 35% increase, more than 15.4 billion pounds. It came up over what was expected to be a three-year time frame, got spread out to 4 years, and basically with a two-year delay. We now have what is a second wave that was supposed to be almost as big, starting to see similar delays of about 2 years in general, and it will probably take an additional 2 to 3 years for the capacity comes up. So that is what's going to keep our margins a little heftier, a little more solid than we were originally expecting moving into the course of the next 2 or 3 years, 2021 to 2023, before the initial bulk of all of that second wave of capacity comes online. Zach mentioned this, but we've had serious delays on the polypropylene new capacity front. One of two plants in Canada has been permanently delayed. The other one delayed 6 months. That one was permanently delayed was the Pembina Kuwait folks, and our pipeline still on plan, but just with a 6 month delay to early 2022. The two new plants in the U.S., well, Braskem's billion pounds came up as expected, running well just a couple of months ago, but they had to take equivalent billion pounds of turnarounds, which has offset some of the new capacity impact initially. So we probably won't see much of that until early next year. But the second plant in the States that was coming up was Formosa. That was nearly 700 million pounds. That's been delayed 2 years now to mid-2022. The Exxon new facility in Baytown has been delayed. No timing from that company. And several others like Lyondell and one or two folks who have studies have just kept those on the back burner as a study. So PolyPro, where it looked initially like it would see a very large hit to the margins and spreads, is going to have that same effect as polyethylene, only much larger, letting the margins and spreads stay high and drag out a little bit longer.
Well, thank you, Brian and Zachary, for joining me on this podcast and sharing your knowledge on both of these markets. You can find more insight on key market dynamics and trends in chemicals, energy, and sustainability for 2021 in our global outlook. Visit ICIS.com for more details.